Do you ever wonder what's happening behind the scenes of the multi-trillion dollar fashion industry? In the new podcast, Fashion People, Puck correspondent and 20-year fashion veteran Lauren Sherman and a rotating cast of industry insiders discuss what fashion people are really talking about behind the scenes of the star-studded business, from creative director switcheroos to M&A drama, DTC downfalls, and Met Gala mishaps. Fashion People, a presentation of Odyssey in partnership with Puck, is available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Marketplace listeners, you know around here we like to think you're never too young to learn about the economy and financial basics. That's why we're bringing the Million Bazillion Live Tour to schools to teach important lessons about budgeting, investing, saving, and more. It's all the fun of the podcast, but now live, immersive, and interactive. Special thanks to our tour partner, Greenlight, the debit card and money app for kids and teens. Learn more about Greenlight at greenlight.com/million. That is greenlight.com/million.
Never mind.
No audio, only
video. I swear I'm paying attention. I do pay attention in these meetings. Hey, everybody, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Welcome back to Make Me Smart, making today make sense every time we open our mouths.
That's right. Although I think he might have just called our podcast a meeting, which is kind of sad for me. Okay, everybody, it's time for a meeting. Fire up the Zoom. Yeah. It is. We think it's a meeting because we did fire up the Zoom. It's Happy Hour Friday, also known as Economics on Tap, which means there's video. The live stream is up and running. Thanks to everyone joining us, whether you're finding us, you know, later via download or live on YouTube or on Discord, where the chat is hopping. I was in the wrong channel. Now I'm in the Economics on Tap channel. It's all happening.
We got it all going on. Holy cow.
All happening. Sorry. Are there Crocs?
There. I did an interview with the CEO of Crocs yesterday, in which I voiced my disdain for that particular brand of footwear. And the CEO of the company basically challenged me to wear a pair of Crocs to the office, and I said, "I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that."
So, see, again, the difference between you and I is on display, because I did an interview with the CEO of Crocs once when you were out of town, like several years ago, when Crocs were just starting to come back. And I was like, "Crocs are kind of back, aren't they?" And he was like, "Yeah, totally." And then I bought some for me and my son. Because I was like,
"So
I guess
they're
totally
back." Are they comfortable?
They're pretty comfortable.
Yeah.
They're pretty comfortable. I won't say that I wear them around as much as I wear my like slip-on mule slipper type things.
Yeah.
But they are comfortable, though. I don't like the, like, me personally, I'm not a big fan of the little nubby bottom. That's always been my one complaint about Crocs. Yeah.
All right. No
I have
kidding.
Baby feet.
I wish I had known yesterday. I'd have brought it up with the CEO. All right. But we're not here to talk about feet or shoes. That's an entirely different podcast.
It got weird.
We're here to do a little news. Man, I'm going to have to open the windows here in a minute, because I am sweating already. It's Happy Hour on Tap, so what are you drinking? And I will fess up, I'm teetotaling today. I'm having a good old-fashioned Canada Dry, because I got some stuff to do later on, and I need to be alert.
Behind the scenes, you should know, I immediately asked him if he had a tummy ache, and he said no.
Because
somebody's mom is in here. I'm having a little tequila while Kai opens the window. And by little tequila, I mean, I was just saying that I brought up the entire bottle to the garage just so I could sort of pour it before the show. Kirkland, Costco-sized tequila.
We should just get you a straw.
It's my jam. It's my jam for today. Like a two-foot straw. It's getting warm in the various home studios. Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Leslie Underwood totally agrees with me about the nubby bottom. It's just not the...
Oh, well, there you go. All right. Okay. So we'll do a little news. We'll do a little half empty, half full, or half full, half empty, however you want to sequence those. And then we'll move along.
Yes. Let's do the news.
I begin my news choices today. I begin them with tales of failure. One on behalf of the media of the United States, and I'm going to call out NBC News here, but lots and lots of others have been doing it. And here's the big blaring headline from NBC News earlier today. Breakthrough COVID cases. At least 125,000 fully vaccinated Americans have tested positive. That's the headline. Big, fat, scary headline. And then, in much smaller type that nobody will see as they scroll through on their phones, the 125,000 breakthrough cases in 38 states represent less than 0.08% of the 165 million plus people fully vaccinated since January. And that's just a fail. I get that we're worried about Delta, and I get that it's scary, and I get that it's, you know, more contagious, and there are breakthroughs and all of these things. But media do better, please.
Yep.
And I will lump us in there. It's just too important, yeah. And there's too much mis and disinformation for us to get stupid stuff like this wrong.
It's absurd.
That's all I'm saying.
It is absolutely absurd. It represents, in fact, 0.03% of the entire U.S. population. Then, yes, 0.08% of well, that's so funny, because if you start clicking my links down here, what you'll see is it's the same thing.
Oh, that's funny.
Including,
that is funny. Sorry, I didn't see that.
Exactly. Including an emergency medicine doctor tweeting about the headline in the Washington Post today, CDC study shows 3/4 of people infected in Massachusetts COVID-19 outbreak were vaccinated.
Yeah.
And this doctor says, please stop with these headlines, because more importantly, only 4 fully vaccinated people were hospitalized. None of them dies. This shows, he writes, that vaccines protect against serious illness but don't prevent transmission, so wear a mask. The only thing that our profession, and I'm just going to have to say our profession and own the fact that we're a part of it, even though it's a tough time to be doing that, because we keep falling into the exact same traps. We're only covering... Yeah. I mean, literally, I actually said to my brother today, I was like, I'm pretty sure that every single breakthrough case that exists has now been spoken to and reported on the media. I mean, granted, likely.
Every single one, that's right.
So, so it seems like they're super common, but actually we've just heard about all of them. So we're only reporting on breakthrough cases. And look, that is probably an undercount. And even if it is an undercount, it's still remarkable protection by the vaccines.
Yep.
The what these headlines are doing is giving more fodder to people who are saying the vaccines don't work, or why should I take it? Because it turns out I'll just get it and pass it on anyway, even though that is still far, 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 far less likely. I think Bob Wachter was tweeting that it's like you're an eighth as likely to get it at all, let alone pass it on. And it's just leading to these bizarrely polarized narratives. If you only cover things that 125,000 people are doing, it's like we only cover that, and then we only cover the people who refuse to take the vaccine, and then we make a big huge deal out of, you know, things like Florida Governor Ron DeSantis effectively getting a ton more attention for vowing to reject mask mandates for school-aged students on Friday. Yep. This is also the guy who sued social media platforms for censorship and what is a full-on quixotic windmill situation. Like, don't cover that.
It's the I want to be president situation is what that was.
I mean, and I want to be president by increasingly marginalizing myself, because I know that it will totally work on the press and it will completely get people on my side.
You bet.
Like, I can't believe how badly we're still doing. I really cannot. This many years later. It is terrible.
Yeah.
And our profession should be ashamed. It is terrible. Well, our Friday is just like,
So that's
one sip of tequila and then rant. It's super.
I don't know. If I had something in this ginger ale, I'd be going with you. I'd be going with you.
I mean.
All right. So that's my news item number one, story of failure. My news item number two, story of failure, is a tweet from Sarah Farish. She covers Congress for Politico, and she tweeted 20 minutes ago. She said, House has adjourned and the lights have literally dimmed as August recess officially begins. Now, that's important because one of the things that Congress did not do on the way out of town, and let me tell you now that the next scheduled vote in the House of Representatives is the middle of September, okay? One of the things they did not do is extend the eviction moratorium, which expires tomorrow. And there are 15 million people in this economy who are behind on their rents. And of that, some fraction, disproportionately, by the way, people of color, are now staring down the barrel of eviction. And Congress has left. They've gone. They took off.
Wow.
So that's story number two of failure. Yeah. Yep. Craziness.
Yeah.
Craziness. Yep. And look, Congress... of both parties, right, they have come together in the last year and done some remarkable things. The bipartisanship has obviously waned as the administration has changed hands. But look, this is a failure to recognize the ongoing crisis. Because everybody's like, oh, yeah, the pandemic's over and this and that. We talked about this the other day. Number one, the pandemic's not over. Number two, the economic effects are also not over. And they're lasting now beyond the capacity of some of these programs. And that's where we are. Yeah. So... little failure in the news today.
A lot of failure in the news today.
Yeah.
I mean, when one of these institutions does not hold the other to account, you can see why, and vice versa, you can see why nothing gets done.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to.
Yeah.
Because you can just play to the press.
Right.
This is a whole other podcast than you guys were expecting, I'm
sure.
Whole
other podcast. But all right. Okay.
Yikes. Okay. You know what? It's
right.
Friday.
Let's. Yeah.
We've got our drinks. Let's play a game.
Let's play a game.
This is the game, half full, half empty, the game where we give you our predictions on various topics, thanks to our host, Drew Jostad. What do we got? Take it away.
All right,
get us started.
The irony is thick with the first one here. Are we half full or half empty on the alcohol shortage?
Is that happening?
It is actually a supply chain thing. It is a real thing. Yeah, we did this story the other day on the show. It's a real thing. It's a real thing. There are beer shortages and alcohol shortages. Obviously, I'm half empty. It needs to be full. Present day's beverages notwithstanding, we need to fix this.
Dang.
Times are getting hard again. Yeah, it's for real. So
we're
that,
going
that big
full
bottle of Tequila Molly
Wood,
that's worth its weight in, you know, gold.
Oh, my goodness. Well, it's a good thing that I'm a bit of a hoarder. I did not know that. I will say I'm actually half full in the sense that there is no chance, and this is not necessarily a good thing because Americans are drinking way too much, but I feel like there's no chance that America is going to let an actual shortage occur. There's going to be, I don't know.
One never knows.
Bootlegging.
One never knows.
Hooch. I'm going to make some hooch in the backyard.
Little bathtub gin?
Little bathtub gin. I'm excited. I'm excited for the return of moonshine. I'm half full. Let's do it. Let's moonshine it up.
Your frontiers woman is coming out. All right, Drew, next.
Are you half full or half empty on any antitrust regulation coming from the FTC?
Oh, very interesting.
Yeah.
I'm going to let you go first.
I'm half empty.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You don't think it's going to happen?
I do not. I think that that agency is profoundly understaffed. I think there has been a lot of heat about everything that they're going to be able to do, but not a lot of light in terms of, I mean, they already had a huge setback in the form of the federal judge dismissing the case against Facebook. And then the FTC said, okay, we're going to need more time to refile that case because we're so understaffed. Think they're going to run headlong into judges, into delaying tactics like Facebook and Google saying, or Amazon saying, Lena Khan's going to have to recuse herself from these cases. And I think the bog is going to be too thick for them to make any progress.
Wow. But Lena Khan and all that stuff she wrote and all the high hopes and all the, everybody was, look out, Silicon Valley and Facebook, you're not having that?
I'm just not having it. And you know what? This is another example of a thing that we keep on talking about. Because you know whose job it is to do this? Congress.
Well, yes.
Like the fact that we keep leaving this to like unelected agencies that are totally understaffed and don't have any teeth. One of the things the FTC said in its hearing before Congress just this week was, hey, you know what we really need is for somebody to restore the ability for us to collect monetary recompense.
Yeah.
Which was just stripped away from the FTC. They said you need, there's some other piece of authority that they need to go back and look at past deals. Right now, the FTC doesn't even have the authority to do the things that it's saying it wants to do. It's almost like it's a weird celebrity appointment. And then meanwhile, by the way, the FTC, which is an agency that has a lot of teeth, doesn't even have a permanent chair yet. I'm not buying it. In fact, if anything, I feel like we're getting a little bit snookered in a PR way here. I don't know. I'm fired up today. I'm heated.
I was just gonna say, whoa, Drew, next one, because Molly's just on a tear. Whew. Okay.
I don't know
Drew,
what's happening to me.
Whew. All right, I got more regulation.
Good.
More regulation.
Oh man.
The FAA regulating spaceflight.
Oh, see, I think that's bunkus. Truly, I do. I don't understand where the FAA gets off doing the whole. Oh, you're not officially an astronaut, and we're not going to give you astronaut wings. Go to hell, honestly. Right?
What?
I mean, seriously.
Who did they say couldn't?
There's the line. What?
Did they better not have said that old aviator lady can't have astronaut wings? I'm not having that at all.
She was in Bezos's plane. Yeah, they did say that. Yeah. Right.
Unelected bureaucrats.
I don't understand where the FAA gets unelected bureaucrats. That's right. I think if you go above the Kármán line, you can call yourself an astronaut. I don't think those designator wing things and all that jazz, I don't think it applies to civilians. All right, so here comes my background. I don't think it applies to civilians. I think if you're a designated aviator by a branch of the government that's qualified to designate aviators, which I understand includes the FAA, then you get wings. But if you're not, you don't. Boo. Opposed.
I'm with Kai. I'm half empty. I would also like to point out that the Discord has, they literally have little graphics for full and empty. I mean, our Discord is just next level. It's next level. It's wonderful. So when we say something, when Drew offers the topic, then the little images come up empty, empty, empty. So good.
Wait. Hang on a minute. Do not go anywhere. I'm not ready for the next one yet.
Because you're opening up Discord?
Hang on.
You got this.
No, I'm looking up Bunkus. Bunkum.
Ryan in Minneapolis.
I got it wrong. All right, anyway, go ahead.
No, it's Bunkum. I was wondering about Bunkus.
It's Bunkum. Bunkus sounds better. But anyway, all right, Drew, sorry to cut you off. Go ahead.
Okay.
Yes, please.
A certain aforementioned footwear company is suing copycats Harry Heffler half empty on Crocs defending their intellectual property.
I think all companies should protect their intellectual property. I think they should definitely do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think, you know, it's a system that gets a little out of hand. And we have extended a culture of ownership past the point where we necessarily need to. But at the same time, if you don't defend your intellect, I mean, you have to. Legally, you have to defend it. Otherwise, you lose the rights to your trademark.
Or otherwise, you lose it. Right. Right.
Yeah. You know, weirdly, isn't it like an incredible, like a super aggressive protector of intellectual property is pop sockets. You know, the little stick-on things on the phone?
Wow.
We had Make Me Smart ones.
Are they still a thing? I know.
It's like a one-man band. I did see some in Target the other day, and I was like, are those still a thing? So, maybe?
Well, I guess so.
Anyway, I guess, you know, in a business kind of way, we're half full.
Yeah. Yeah, half full. Good. That's it. That's it. I thought we had one more. I always think we have one more. Oh, well.
I know. Me too.
So, all right. So, note to producers, let's make five, please. Shall we? Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, there's got to be five.
That's just, it for us today.
We're just punchy and pissed off.
A little bit. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. It's vacation is so close. Speaking of which, Molly's gone the next two. So, here's the way it goes. Molly's gone for the next 2 weeks. Now, are you gone, or are you working on your tippy-top secret project?
A little bit
of both.
Which
is, I guess, not so tippy-top secret anymore. Okay, all right, okay.
A little bit of both.
So Molly's gone.
I'm gone.
Molly's out for 2 weeks.
I'm actually on vacation. Yeah.
Okay, all right. Molly's out for the next 2 weeks. I am in Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday with Kimberly. Then I'm out for the duration of Molly's absence. And Kimberly's on with a rotating cast of Euler and Megan McCarty-Carino. Just so all y'all know what's going on. So
it is going to be fun.
Just wanted to say that. All right. But we still do need your comments, your questions, your very carefully crafted critiques. Answers, of course, to the Make Me Smart questions. Send us an email or a voice memo, makemesmart@marketplace.org, or you can just give us a phone call, 508-827-6278, 508-UB-SMART. So there you go.
So good. Just a reminder that we didn't even do that on purpose, the UB Smart thing. It was a happy accident. That's how blessed our show is. Make Me Smart is produced by Marissa Cabrera. Today's episode was engineered by Drew Jostad, engineered by and starring Drew Jostad. Stephen Beyond produces our favorite game, Half Full, Half Empty. No pressure, though, but we want five. And the YouTube live stream.
He's not even on the staff of the show. We're like, give us more.
I know,
more,
we're just
more.
Like, more. More.
Bridget Bodner is the senior producer of this podcast. The executive director of On Demand is Sitar Nieves. And this is where I click over to the Slack to make sure I haven't missed it.
To see if she's in there.
I know.
Aw, friends. You're so nice. Everyone's so sad about vacation, which I appreciate. However, you are in great hands.
Strong communication skills are critical for success in business and in life. Hi. I'm Matt Abrahams, and I host Stanford Graduate School of Business's Think Fast, Talk Smart, the podcast. Each week, I sit down with experts to discuss the best tips to help you with your communication skills, from conflict management to mastering small talk to tackling communication anxiety. Join us and start to develop and hone your communication skills. Listen every Tuesday wherever you get your podcasts or on YouTube.